Technology. It's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun. It can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. The future of agriculture across the Great Plains hinges on water. Without it, nothing can grow. Climate models and population growth paint a pretty bleak picture for water availability a few decades from now. If farmers want to stay in business, they'll have to figure out how to do more with less. Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon has this story from Colorado.
There's chemical smell in here, so...
Rod Weimer opens the door to the control room of what he calls the Cadillac of irrigation systems. He's the farm manager for Fagerberg Produce in Weld County, Colorado, one of the largest producers of onions in the country.
It was about water savings and quality.
Crimson-colored cisterns line one wall of the building. A control panel glows on the other side. This sophisticated setup filters water pumped from both underground reservoirs and from canals that divert water from nearby rivers. It's then pushed out into the onion fields through underground plastic piping.
It's kind of like a big sprinkler system in your yard.
This system is a textbook example of drip irrigation, much more tech-savvy than old-school methods, which flood fields with water. Weimer can irrigate 900 acres of onions with the push of a button on his smartphone. The plastic piping is so precise, the farm uses 30% less water than it did before this system was installed. It cost about $4,000 an acre, and last year, it paid off.
And on dry years, you know, you may think you have a lot of water, but if you don't get water in the mountains, you're not going to get all your water. So that's what this is all about.
We're working on a corn sunflower rotation at the moment.
Tom Trout pilots a four-wheeler through row after row of bright yellow sunflowers. He's a USDA researcher with a mandate.
What we're trying to figure out is how to continue to get good yields with less water.
Not an easy task. Crops need water. When you cut back too much, they don't grow as well. But if you can find the sweet spot where plants are getting just as much water as they need at exactly the right times, all of a sudden you free up lots of extra water.
It's like getting our bodies used to eating less food, for example, and creating a new equilibrium for ourselves.
The stakes are high to figure this out. Trout says in the most arid regions of the plains, farmers are already overdrawing underground sources. Development is encroaching, and climate models show precipitation will become much more variable.
So all those things are kind of coming together for a perfect storm, and meaning we're going to have less water to work with in the future.
Farmers are probably better at conserving water than the average homeowner because it's a big economic issue to them.
That's Brian Werner, a spokesman for Northern Water, one of Colorado's largest water distribution systems. He says even when farmers switch to more efficient irrigation, it's not an easy task to figure out who gets the extras. And as long as farmers still have water now, there's little incentive to make a switch.
We're getting there, I think the mindset. The paradigm is shifting, however, maybe so slowly, towards how we get to that point.
That shift is happening. Between 2003 and 2008, about 800,000 acres of U.S. farmland were equipped with more efficient systems. But these new systems won't likely be a panacea to the looming water shortages. A study of irrigated land in western Kansas found that when farmers change their irrigation systems, they switch crops to ones that require more water and bring in more money. That switch sometimes negates the entire water savings. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
If you happen to be near Forest Park in St. Louis at around 2 in the afternoon, look up. You just might see a weather balloon. Students at St. Louis University are launching them as part of a study sponsored by the U.S. Space Agency, NASA. As St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCabra reports, the mission aims to improve our understanding of air pollution and global climate.
Background number 1.02, correct?
Yes.
pump efficiency file default, serial number of IMAT.
A small group of St. Louis University students are huddled around a laptop and radio receiver set up in front of the St. Louis Science Center Planetarium in Forest Park. They're getting ready to participate in a NASA mission to measure ozone. That's the sound of data. Inside a small styrofoam box are a GPS and two little instruments that measure temperature, humidity, air pressure, and ozone. A transmitter in the box broadcasts the data to a 6-foot-tall antenna connected to that beeping radio receiver. From there, an old-school modem translates the audio signal into ones and zeros that the laptop converts into air quality measurements. Once the students have checked that all the equipment is working, the next step is to attach the styrofoam box with its instruments to a weather balloon that will carry everything up into the atmosphere. But first, they need to fill the balloon with helium. A lot of helium. Fully blown up, the balloon will be about 8 to 10 feet in diameter. The goal is to give it enough lift to carry it and its cargo up about 100,000 feet into the stratosphere. That's around 3 times as high as commercial airplanes fly.
This is Gary Morris with the St. Louis University Weather Balloon Launch Team at the St. Louis Planetarium. We're 5 minutes from a weather balloon launch.
Valparaiso University professor Gary Morris is checking in with the FAA. He's the lead trainer for the Ozone Balloon Project. St. Louis is one of 7 sites involved in the nationwide study. Morris says NASA wants to get more data on ozone because of the important roles it plays in our atmosphere, both good and bad. High up in the stratosphere, the ozone layer absorbs sunlight and keeps harmful ultraviolet radiation from reaching the Earth. But down near the ground, emissions from sources like petrochemical plants and cars can form ozone pollution and smog, which can exacerbate respiratory problems like asthma. Jack Fishman worked for NASA for more than 30 years, studying air pollution and atmospheric chemistry. Now he's at St. Louis University, where he's leading their ozone study. Fishman says, like carbon dioxide, ozone contributes to the greenhouse effect, both directly and by forming tiny particles known as aerosols.
So this project is trying to understand the complexity of the chemistry and the clouds and other processes, meteorological processes, that impact local meteorology, which in turn form the big picture of climate and in turn climate change.
Okay, we're all good. Ready?
Back at the St. Louis Science Center, it's launch time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lift off!
The balloon and its payload swoop upwards. 7-year-old Zach Crawford says when he grows up, he wants to be a fireman. But the balloon launch definitely made an impression.
That was amazing. It's so high that I can't even see it.
There's still time for you to see one of those weather balloons. SLU will be launching them most afternoons through the end of September. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.